Praise the Lord. And if you remember last week, I didn't get to finish my message. I didn't actually get very far in it as I was looking. I know that there was more that God had for us. And so I'm believing God, and I hope you're believing God to get the rest of it out. So this is week two of, praise the Lord, of Do Not Enter at Your Own Risk. Amen. And we're talking about entering into the plan of God. We're talking about entering into the peace of God, really. And God's plan is peace for our lives. Amen. We know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen. And that's a major thing. God could have said a lot of things there instead of peace, but he used the word peace. And we know that word peace is a big word. Amen. It doesn't just mean rest and peace. It means prosperity. It means wealth. It means all these things. But we're going to focus on the peace of God, being at peace with the Lord and what he's doing. Amen. A Christian who doesn't build their faith towards the peace of God is not really building their faith at all. We need our faith. The level of our faith will be determined by the amount of peace that we live in. If we have an extreme amount of peace, then we know that we have a higher amount of faith. Amen. And I'm not talking about a false sense of peace, but I'm talking about peace in the time of trial. There will be oppositions in our lives. Amen. There will be oppositions in our jobs and our businesses and our homes. There will be oppositions that will come to try to rob that. Those oppositions should not move us. If those oppositions move us, listen, a lot of these oppositions, usually they're not lasting for a great length of time anyways. Specific individual oppositions may last for sometimes only a few days, but we act like it's the end of the world. Listen, there's that old saying, it's not over till the fat lady sings. Well, praise the Lord. I'll just say this, it's not over till the fat preacher sings. And so until I start singing that song, glory to God, you know it's not over. And as long as we're still here, we still have a hope. Glory to God. And everything that God has for us will come to pass. We believe it. We stand on it. I believe it for you. I believe it for me. I believe it for this church. Amen. I believe it for everything that we set our minds to, because God said that everything we put our hands to shall prosper. Amen. But that's if you believe him. And I just happen to believe him. So praise the Lord. If you don't, you just jump on my bandwagon. And where we go, glory to God, we'll follow God and get through to the other side. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this is week two. And we're going to start in Hebrews 4:1. Amen. We're going to read through verse 3. But I want to remind you as we're turning there of Isaiah 26:3, which we started last week on. Says the Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen. And speaking of God, he will keep them in perfect peace. And so God wants to keep us in perfect peace, but that is why we have to keep our mind stayed on him. When the trial comes, your first instinct is to go focus on the trial. But our first instinct as Christians, as born-again believers, should be to go focus on God. When you have opposition, go focus on God. When something rises against you, go focus on God. When something is bigger than you are, praise the Lord, go focus on God. When something is ending your life, go focus on God. Yeah, see, all these things will draw you to look at it. You know, I think about, they call it rubbernecking. Have you ever seen that? People that driving on a highway or something and there's an accident and all of a sudden you come up on this line of traffic and you know something must be going on up the road. Well, generally, there's enough room to get through. Most accidents there is, unless the traffic is stopped completely, then we know there isn't. But generally, there's enough room to get through. But we all know that it slows down to almost nothing. In fact, I've been in busy highways and cities and stuff where all of a sudden traffic slows to a complete crawl, and then finally, all of a sudden, it just starts loosening up, and there was no accident, there was no trouble. Well, what is it? People get distracted. And when people get distracted, they slow down. Amen. When people get distracted, they slow down. And that's not what God wants us to do. And see, that's why we don't get distracted by what's going on. That's why the devil loves distraction, because he knows that if he could throw up a distraction and get unbelieving believers to get distracted, then they won't be full force into the plan of God, full fledged in the plan of God. And they won't have all that he has for them. They won't reach all that God wants them to reach. And so we need to be people that are not distracted by the devil's distractions. We need not to be moved by these things. Amen? Praise God. And so we're starting here in Hebrews 4:1. Glory to God. It says there, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And so I remind you of these things this morning that the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we have not been given a spirit of fear. Amen. We do not fear our Lord. We do not fear the things that come around us. But one thing the Bible does say to fear is it says to fear the fear not entering into rest. Fear not entering into peace. We understand that you cannot be used by God if you are not in a place of peace. And so God cannot move in your life the way that he wants to move if you are not in a place of peace. This is why peace was so big to God. This is why he's promoted it big time from the beginning. This is why there was an entire day of peace. Amen. There was an entire day of rest given us out of 7 days. You think 1/7 of a week was devoted in God's eyes. 1/7 of the week was devoted to rest. Now that is a big number. That's a big portion. You know, we think about this coronavirus and all that's going on, and there's such a small number of people that have actually been killed by it when you look at the overall number. But now if you think if 1/7 of the United States all of a sudden had succumbed to death from it, that would be a huge number. And so God has given us this number, this 1/7 of our life, really, to be in absolute nothing but rest. No matter what's going on, he says, purpose to set it aside. Amen. And I didn't plan on talking about this morning. Actually, I didn't plan on talking about any of this, but glory to God, this is where we're at. But I'm just going to help you right now. If you are not resting in your week, if your week is just go, 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 and you don't have a day off, there is something wrong. And rest should not come by forsaking the local church. Rest should not come but if you're resting and you're saying, well, I got to rest today so I can't be in church. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan. And that will only end in a hurt for you. God wants you to be at rest. And one of the number one places that we find that is when we gather together, because we gather in his presence. Amen. And so that's why coming together is so important. You know, as this thing is pressed on and we've been weeks and weeks out, I'm just going to tell you, I've seen a lot of things that I don't like. I've seen a lot of things. Now, I've agreed with a lot of the measures to take safety precautions and all those things. But one thing I do not agree with is this overwhelming push to call the church non-essential. That is not something that we can take lightheartedly. That is something that we cannot look at lightheartedly. We need to consider this when the government starts calling church non-essential. Praise the Lord. And the people look at the church as non-essential. Listen, they're opening a lot of things all over the place. But one thing that is being held back is the non-essential churches. You folks, we need to consider these things. We need to, and what do I mean by consider? Do I mean that we need to go out and riot and we need to go out and protest? I'm not saying any of that stuff. What I'm saying is that we need to pray ever more so that the government will not have its way, or that certain people in the government will not have its way over the local church. It is imperative that the local church still be able to do what the local church was meant to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's free, no charge. My political rant for the day is over. Glory to God. But it says, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now we're talking about the Israelites here. Remember, the Israelites were the ones who by faith did not, or by their lack of faith, did not enter the promised land that God had promised them. Listen, it was a promise of God. He said, you will get there if you have faith, but you've got to trust me to get there. God is saying the same thing to us today. You will not enter what I have for you if you don't enter by faith. Amen. For indeed, the gospel was preached as well as to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Amen. Last week, I brought up the idea of a cake. If you have a cake mix, you have all the ingredients, even if you have all the ingredients there, but you don't mix them together and you throw that cake into the oven and you pull it out, you still won't have a cake. You'll have a mess. Amen. And so the same thing is with people. If we don't mix our faith in with what we know, if we don't mix faith in with what we believe, all we're going to have is a mess. We're going to be a mess of a Christian. We're going to be a mess of a believer. We'll have all these things. Well, I believe the Bible. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm in church every week. I serve. I give. I do all these things that you said to do, Pastor, but yet things are still going wrong in my life. Well, you're not mixing faith in with it. You need to mix faith in with it. And the only way to mix faith in with it is to build faith in with it. Amen. But if your week is so consumed with everything else and you never put your heart on God, you never get into his word, you are not going to have any faith. If you skip church regularly, I'm just going to tell you, you will not have enough faith to even get through a day. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying this to come down on people, but here's the truth. One of the things I knew when I showed up today, it's a nice sunny day out, and so there was going to be people that weren't here because it's a nice sunny day. Now, I don't know everybody who's not here and why they're not here, but I know that there's some that are not here because it's a nice day. And that's just an example of a person who, when they go to pull their cake out of the oven, it's going to be a mess. It's not going to look like a cake. It's not going to taste good. Nobody's going to want it. Amen. And so if you want to have the things God has for you, if you want to walk into what God has for you, you have to determine in your heart, I am going to mix faith in with it. And I'm going to do the things that cause for faith to be mixed in with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. If you don't know God's will, his word, you cannot be in faith. You cannot mix anything because you are missing ingredients. Amen. And so there's so many people that are trying to be, oh, I heard pastor preach on this one, so I'm going to stand on this now because now we're in trial. Listen, that doesn't work that way. You don't enter trial and then decide to mix faith in it. You have to live with faith mixed in with your life, praise the Lord, and then when trial comes, you'll be well able and well equipped to deal with it, amen? There is a reason why this church did not fold the instant attacks started coming against it, because that there was faith mixed in with it already, amen? But you can't get to that point and then decide to start mixing it in. It doesn't work that way, amen? That would be like baking a cake most of the way through. Oh, I forgot the sugar, so now I'm going to go try to put that in, right? I mean, it would be foolish, wouldn't it? Nobody would think, I mean, the eggs are already hard, the flour's already, mixed in with everything else, and it's already mostly baked, and now you want to add the sugar? Or maybe you say, well, I didn't put any sugar in the cake, but I sprinkled it on top. Still wouldn't taste good, would it? You know that it wouldn't taste good. It would be weird, amen? And so that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're pulling their cakes out of the oven and they've forgotten half the ingredients and now they're trying to add them to it. Can you imagine having a cake come out of the oven and just before you frost it, well, I forgot the egg, so I'm going to put an egg on it now. Now, how weird would that be? I mean, you smear it all over the top of it. It wouldn't be very good, would it? Praise the Lord. But that's what Christians are trying to do with their faith. They're coming at it, they're saying, well, I had the ingredients of the word. I had the ingredients of church sometimes, but I didn't have the ingredients of faith. And so I didn't mix it in with it. And then at the end, I just said, well, now I got to put it in because now we're in trial. Now we're in trouble. Listen, faith is a preemptive force. I always talk about that. It's preemptive, not post-active. Praise the Lord. And so if you don't put faith in ahead of time, you're going to have a lot harder time getting faith out, amen, or getting the things that faith produces, amen. This is why so many people, that they come to the church with an issue already, and then they come in and then they want it to disappear. But the problem is that they've never built faith in that area. They've never allowed that issue to be defeated ahead of time. And as a result, they're trying to come in afterwards and take it out, and they're wondering why it just doesn't disappear. Well, this is why, amen. Praise the Lord. We need to believe the Lord going forward. We need to say, Lord, I believe you on this. This is what I see in the word. And so I'm going to go forward in these things. I'm going to enter your rest. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It goes on to say here, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, praise the Lord, you shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. But notice here it says, for we who have believed do enter. Now this is, again, you know, I've been kind of big on this. If you listen to my message last night, you'll see this, but this is an action word. This means that if you believe, then you do enter his rest. What does that mean? It means you do enter. It doesn't come upon you. You don't wait for it. It's not going to appear before you. You choose to enter it. I'm in faith, so I'm in rest. And if you can't get in rest, that means you are not in faith. And so you need to build the faith in you, amen? And this is something that a lot of people don't understand. They are seeking peace, but it's fleeing from them because they're seeking it in the wrong way. God says that those who believe, they automatically enter it. They choose to enter it. That's something that they do, amen? It's not something that they wait for, hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we need to be people who do enter. In this time when there's opposition against us, when there's viruses and all kinds of things, you think this will be the last? It's not the last. There'll be many more things like this. is. But I'm just telling you right now, you have a choice. Every time something pops up, are you going to enter into faith? Are you going to enter into rest? Or are you going to be, are you going to go running? Listen, if this happens again next year, they say this could, and I don't know what's going to happen next year. I haven't been told that by the Lord. I don't know if this pandemic is going to come again. Maybe it'll come every 6 months. Who knows? If it does, how are you going to react next time? I'd hope that you would react differently than you did this time, unless you acted in complete faith, which I don't know so many. I don't know many people who actually did. I do know a few, but I don't know many people who actually did. But if you didn't act in complete faith, the next time you need to, amen. Praise the Lord. So we're not moved by the things that are happening around us. Well, praise God, hallelujah. So we're going to enter His rest. We're going to be people that enter His rest. You know, one way we enter His rest, in case you want to know a practical way, you have to build the faith in you. But you just say, "I'm not going to be moved by this." Amen. You start using your words. Amen. And you remember we tell the kids, use your words. Hallelujah. Use your words, Christians. I am not going to be moved by this. This is not taking me out. This opposition in my life, this is not working. Devil, it's not working. It may look like it's working. It ain't working. I don't care. I don't care what it looks like. I know my God. My God's bigger. See, that's all you have to know, is you have to know that God is bigger than all this trial. Once you know that God is bigger, then it's not hard for you to just check and change your attitude really quickly. Change your attitude. You change your outlook on it. Oh, I know all this stuff is happening. Well, Pastor, what about this? What about this? God's bigger. Praise the Lord. What about this opposition? What about that opposition? God's bigger. That's the rest of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The lack of rest is when you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, not knowing what you're going to do. Amen. But we're not chickens with our heads cut off. We have our fully formed head. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I remember, I don't know, it was a bunch of years ago, there was a chicken that got its head partially cut off, and but it lived. And they fed it. It lived for quite a while. They fed it with like a little dropper, and that thing would still run around, but it wasn't. Didn't have very much direction. Why am I bringing this up? Because that's what a lot of Christians are. They've allowed half their head to be chopped off. They can't see anything, can't hear anything. They're just being fed whatever is being fed to them, and they're bumping into walls and bouncing off things. They're not getting anywhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I know. God's talking about this stuff this morning. Praise the Lord. But just because I am doesn't mean that God is. Amen. But we happen to believe that's what's happening here. They get direction by the Holy Spirit. But yeah, we don't want to be half-headed chickens. Amen. So don't be a chicken with your head fully cut off, and don't be a half-headed chicken either. Be one that fully headed. Hallelujah. I may be the first one who's ever used that phrase. Praise the Lord. Be a fully headed chicken. Be a fully headed chicken. Yep. I'm not even going to say Christian. Be a fully headed chicken. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, where are we at here? If you are not in rest, it is not because God has not given it to you. We have to know. That's what he said. The foundation works have been finished from the foundation of the earth. God has created rest for us. It is waiting for us to enter in. Amen. Those who have faith enter in. Those who do believe do enter. Amen. So it's there already. Rest is there. If you go looking for it, you've already gotten off, because it's right there with you. And you say, well, where is it? Well, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. That's the rest you need right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, this is the rest with which I cause the weary to rest. Speaking about speaking in tongues, amen. And that's the book of Isaiah, I believe. And God has set it up ahead of time, set us up way a long time ago. I'm just telling you right now that Christians that have the Holy Spirit are people who have been set free. They're Christians that people that have been given rest. Glory to God. They have everything that they need to prosper. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 1. Romans 1. Praise the Lord. Remember, all this stuff is where we didn't go last week. Amen. So we'll have to do it on this trip. Hallelujah. Romans 1, and we're going to start in verse 16. Praise the Lord. We'll read through all the way through verse 17. What does it say here? Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you something. When you are praying to God for anything you are seeking, when you are seeking God for something, when you are asking Him for something, whether it be healing, whether it be financial, whether it be whatever, you are seeking God for His power. That's what you want. You want power that you don't have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be praying to God. If you had everything that you needed all the time, you would never seek the Lord. Amen? We see that in Revelation 3, the Laodicean church, which is I believe with all my heart is the church in America today. But the Laodicean church, you go read about it over there in Revelation 3 and see what it says, what the Spirit says to the church of the Laodiceans. They had everything that they thought they needed. Listen, I'm just telling you right now, America is a spoiled, rotten brat. We are a spoiled, rotten brat. We have everything and above. We have so much abundance, it's not even funny. In fact, our only complaints now are about not having the abundance. Most people are still doing well and living. And I'm not saying there's not people that aren't having opposition during this, but I'm saying most people that I've encountered, they're making it through. They're living, they're still eating. I haven't seen very many starving looking people. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. A lot of people, praise the Lord. You start taking away food from people and they start changing pretty quickly, don't they? But, as I look around, I'm not just talking about this in this church building right now, but I'm saying as I look around in the world, I don't see a lot of starving people in this country. I'm not saying they don't exist. So I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear people get on my case about how he's saying that there's any starving people in America and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the majority of people around where we live are not going without basic necessities and even more. They just don't have all the things that they were always used to. You know, I see people complaining online about not getting haircuts and stuff like that. Well, there's a lot of Amish out there that cut their own hair. You know, and I'm just saying that it's a luxury, it's an extra to be able to have your hair cut by somebody else, to have it styled, to have it colored and all these things. I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm saying it's a luxury, but I'm saying when people lose those things and then they lose it, they've just proven that how spoiled they are. Well, I don't have everything that I want, so therefore I'm going to throw a fit. Therefore I'm going to give up every right that I have. I'm going to give up everything that God has done for me. I'm going to give up all these beliefs because it's just not working for me. Listen, if you haven't completely gone under, you haven't lost. I'm just saying, even if the worst has happened, even if you have lost your job, even if you got kicked out of your house, which they can't even do that anymore, really. But even if you've gotten kicked out of your house, you still haven't lost everything. You are still not without everything. God is still working on your behalf. You still have hope, amen? But see, so many people, they act like God has fallen off the throne because something changed. Get over it. If something changes, things change. We're told things change. God has never promised us an unchanging earth. In fact, he's promised us just the opposite, that we would see things change, that things would ebb and flow. He's promised us that. He said, don't worry through it because I'll always take care of you. I'll always bring you through. I'll always bring you to the other side. So what if it gets tight for a while? That doesn't mean God has fallen off the throne. Praise the Lord. It means that God is still God because everything that God said would happen is happening. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where are we? Romans 1:16. It says here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Now remember, salvation means deliverance, preservation, praise the Lord, ability, glory to God. It's the power of God for our health, praise the Lord. All these things. Salvation is not just, oh, someday I die, I get to go to heaven. We have to get that out of our heads. God's salvation is active as soon as we receive it. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we enter into the rest, knowing, and this is the rest that people need to enter into. This is the problem when so many people are dealing with trial or they're going through trial. What's happening is the trial rises up, and that the reason they get moved, the reason they get upset is because they think that it's the end of something, and then it becomes H-A-R-D. Everybody talks about how hard it is. Well, listen, there's one thing I can't stand as a preacher is to have one of my congregation members tell me how hard it is. I can't stand that. You know why I can't stand that? Because that means you don't believe what I've been preaching. That means you don't believe what I've been teaching you. See, it's not hard. It's not hard if you're a child of God. I am not saying you won't have hard times. I'm not saying it's going to feel completely easy all the time. I'm not saying that. But hard is a state of mind. Hard when you've already won, praise the Lord. If you already know, you can't go look at any sports team out there, and if you go to them and say, you are guaranteed to win this, no matter how hard you play, no matter how hard you don't play. So no matter what the opposition, if you already know that you're going to win it, it doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't matter what the opposition is. So we don't focus on the hard. Amen. We focus on the one who is above the hard, which is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the word of God, praise the Lord, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the word of God. Amen. For it is the power of God to salvation, to preservation, to deliverance, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And so for every person, you know, and the Bible also tells us that there's neither Jew nor Greek. Praise the Lord. In other words, that with God, he doesn't play favorites. Amen. It's the Jew first because it was offered to them first. Amen. And so they always have that offer because God offered it to them first. But through their denial of it, God expanded it to the rest of the world. Aren't you glad? And so that's where we come into play. Amen. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we see here, the power of God is faith in his word. The power of God sits in these pages, whether we do anything with it or not. That's where the power of God lies. See, you go first to prayer saying, oh, I need the power of God, when God's saying, first go to my word. It's in my gospel. This is why I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in the gospel, because this is the power of God. The power of God will not be found externally. It's going to be found in faith in his word. Amen? You will never see the power of God without faith in the word of God. Amen. Even if you've seen the power of God work in your life and you did nothing for it, somebody did. Somebody used faith. And if nothing else, the people that wrote this word, the people that put down the Holy Spirit's words into this Bible, glory to God, they did the faith. Amen. So the faith is working for us, praise the Lord, if we believe it. We have to live by this faith. And so it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness, and remember, righteousness is one who is as he ought to be. So in order to be as you ought to be, in the word is where we find out how to be who we are to be. Amen? That's where we find the righteousness. That's where we find the truth. That's where we find the salvation. Amen? Praise the Lord. You've been praying for the power, and the whole time it's written right before you. See, and that's why God is not mocked. God is not doing things differently than what he said he was going to do. And so that's why a lot of Christians that go to God in prayer, they've never received, because God said, I've already answered you. I've already given you the answer. Listen, if your answer is already written in this book, God probably is not going to deliver you your answer. Amen. I said, if your answer is already written in this book, he is probably not going to deliver you the answer. This is why people who seek God and seek God and seek God on things he's already written, he says, I've already written it down. It's already there. God is not going to change the way he does things just because you don't want to listen. Amen? Folks, we need to get this in us. We need to hear this. We need to make this a part of our life. God is not going to change things because I don't want to listen. Amen? We have to do things according to the way things are done. And that's the way that God has written them. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So again, we see this here. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. To those people out there, the message we preach in here is foolishness. But I'm going to tell you something, because I've sensed this even in my own people. And I want you to listen to me very carefully right now. Praise the Lord. Yes, we take measures to do things the way that we should. Yes, we do things, do our best to follow government, until it violates our conscience to do so. Yes, we do things, but I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to warn you about something right now. There is fear that has tried to get into people in this church. There is fear, and I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit right now, there is fear that is trying to get into your lives and is trying to keep you from doing things the way that you ought. You cannot stay away from church forever. You cannot stay away from people forever. You cannot operate in fear, because if you operate in fear, you will succumb to what fear brings. Follow the Lord, follow what he says to do, use wisdom, but do not succumb to fear. I'm just telling you, praise the Lord. Is this clear? Praise the Lord. We need not succumb to fear. We do not make decisions based on what we are afraid of. We do not make decisions based on what we are afraid of. And if we do make decisions, if we continually make, I'm just going to tell you the truth right now. You want me to tell you the truth? If you continually make decisions based on what you are afraid of, what you are afraid of will become what you are, will become your normal. It will become your new existence. It will manifest itself to you. What you are afraid, you cannot run from fear. You cannot hide from fear. You need to be bold against fear. You need to stand against fear. Folks, I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. The Bible says was it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:6? Praise the Lord, 1:7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But right before that, in the verse right before that, he says, he says to stir up the gift of God which is in you, which means to stand against. When you say to stir up the gift of God, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a power, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. It is not a sound mind to continually run and hide from things of whether it be whatever. Whether it be the government, whether it be whatever. We make decisions according to what God has led us to do. Praise the Lord. But we cannot run and hide in fear. And if you are somebody who cannot come back to this afterwards and return to a somewhat normal life, when I say somewhat normal, the reason I say somewhat normal is because obviously there are probably certain things that will change that we can't go back to. But I'm just going to tell you right now, and if you don't want to hug from me, that's fine. But I'm not going to allow fear to keep me from hugging people forever. I am not going to allow fear to keep me from shaking the hands of another individual. I am not going to allow fear to cause me to avoid social gatherings because of the threat that there could be a pandemic or there's another one coming or anything like that. And if you do so, you will succumb to whatever that fear brings. That's a warning. I believe it's by the Holy Spirit. It's definitely according to the Word. And so if you don't heed it, if you don't hear it, just beware, it's coming to you. You need to learn to stand, amen? Because standing is the only way to keep us out of the danger that comes against us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:4. Praise God. Hallelujah. To the world it is foolishness, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is a shame when those who are being saved do not enter into the power of God because they don't enter in through unbelief. God has determined that we would do so. God has given us the ability to do so from the foundations of the earth. And yet here, praise God, here we find that so many people just don't. Hebrews 11. I had to get off there for a second. Now this is something I saw earlier. Amen. I saw last week, and this is something I really wanted to get to. There's some things that I saw in this. I want to go back to, we're in Hebrews 11, the very beginning of the chapter. At the very end of last chapter, I was in this last night, but I want to back up to there because God did connect this with me last night, and I want to show it to you. Amen. And go to verse 38. Praise the Lord. And notice what it says here. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Amen. Verse 39, but we are not of those who have draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And so we see here that through faith is what gets us through to the salvation. Faith is what gets us through the deliverance. Amen. It is not God's magical pixie dust. It is not angels swooping down to save you just in the nick of time. It is your faith that gets you through to salvation. We have to know that, to deliverance. We get delivered when we believe God, when we trust him, amen? But we, the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, the Bible says, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, I want to point out to you that it says, my soul has no pleasure in him, amen? Because the Lord shows us distinctly here that without pleasing God, we don't enter into what God has. Let me say that again. Without pleasing God, we do not enter into what God has. We can't enter in because of unbelief. And unbelief, the reason unbelief is so bad is because it's displeasing to God. And if you can think about this, it just makes sense. Amen? What would happen if you have done nothing but proven yourself and proven yourself and proven yourself? For example, as a man, if I've proved myself over these last bunch of years with me and my wife, how long have we been married? 13 years? We've been together 16 years, praise the Lord. I have spent the last 16 years proving myself as a faithful man, a faithful husband, praise the Lord. But if all of a sudden my wife just started saying to me, you know what, I don't trust you. I just don't trust you. It would bother me. It would bother me deeply. In fact, if my wife lived in a place of distrust for me, I'm just going to tell you that our marriage would not last very long. In fact, if I lived in a place of distrust for my wife, our marriage would not last very long. There would be a time where eventually it would peter out because would be no pleasure. There would be no back and forth there because the other person would be hurt by that. We understand the concept of having faith and trust. And when God has done everything in his ability, when God has gone above and beyond, when God has allowed the sacrifice of his very own son, just in order for you to get you to trust him on the littlest things. I'm saying the littlest things. Again, I want to focus back on America today. Sometimes we are moved by not having the littlest things. Well, I didn't get the cell phone I wanted. Teenagers, I'm talking to you. If you don't get everything you want, deal with it. Learn to deal with it. Get over it. Because you don't get everything you want. Amen? That's not the way things work. And if you do, you're a spoiled, rotten brat and nobody likes you. Praise the Lord. This is the truth. Nobody likes a spoiled, rotten brat. I'm just saying it out loud. Amen? But everybody knows this. If you want, nobody likes you. And if you think nobody likes you, then the first thing you need to look at is, am I getting everything I want? Because if I'm getting everything I want, you're no good to anybody. And I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? That's why God doesn't just give us every little thing that we cry about. Amen? God wants us blessed, but he's a good dad. He doesn't spoil his children. Amen? He does, but not in a bad way. You know what I mean? God takes more than good care of us. Amen? But praise the Lord. So God, things aren't just going to be, well, how did I get on that thing about that? I don't know, but it was good. Praise the Lord. about trusting. We need to learn to trust. We need to learn to trust God. It is imperative that we trust God, that we trust him, that he wants to do good in our lives. We trust him that he'll bring us through. It's imperative. And if we don't, then he's saying, then God looks at it like this. He's looking at you. I gave you my son, and here you can't even trust me? I said that there's nothing I would withhold from you. No good thing would I withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's what God said. No good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly. And he says that if I gave you Jesus, how will I not give you all other things? Praise the Lord. So God told us this. He promises this. And then yet when a Christian, all of a little bit of trial comes, and a Christian is like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to live in faith like you were always supposed to. You're going to continue on in faith. You're going to continue trusting God because God is still good. God hasn't changed. He hasn't fallen off his throne. You're still going to believe him. Yeah, like there's a pandemic going on. Everybody's dropping dead. Everybody's dropping dead. What if we had a pandemic like that? We haven't had that. But what if we had a pandemic with 90% of the people were dying? Well, guess what? You better hope that your faith has been stoked. You better hope that you've been in the right place, because if it's not, well, you're going to see Jesus sooner. Amen? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, and we shouldn't fear these. So we shouldn't fear these things. We shouldn't fear things. But it is displeasing to God when those people, when his people who are called by his name, do not operate according to faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. They don't operate according to trust. You know, think about this. How many Christians get excited when they hear Jeremiah 29:11? Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't know that was in there. God's got good plans for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. They get so excited. And then they go outside and it happens, and all of a sudden they lose it. They just drop it. Now, oh, I don't know what's going on. You forgot Jeremiah 29:11. You got excited about it. Well, praise the Lord. Christians, are we those Christians that come to church and we hear the word of God and we say, oh, wow, God wants us healthy. He wants us wealthy. He wants us blessed. He wants us taken care of. Praise the Lord. God wants us so set. He's got a good plan for us, all these things. Are we those Christians that get excited and stirred about the word like that and then walk out of here? And when something happens, it seems like it comes opposite of that. We drop it at the first, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. They just let it go. Have you ever seen that? What do they say? The first, praise the Lord, the rats are the first ones off the ship or something. Like there's a saying like that, you know. It's like so many Christians are rats, man. It's like a little bit of trial happens, and they're bailing. They're bailing on the faith. They're bailing on their church. They're bailing on this. Oh, I didn't get everything I wanted. Oh, you've been perfected? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You think you've been perfected? That's what people are saying. Do you realize that? When you think that you haven't got everything that you wanted or everything you believe for, what you are essentially saying is, I have been perfected and God didn't work out, so where is it? That's what you're saying. You're saying, well, I've arrived. There's certainly no area I could have missed it in. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I wish I could see your faces right now. Hallelujah. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. Listen, folks, we all do this. We all go through this. Well, I've been serving you like this. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Why don't I get what I want? Listen, have you been perfected yet? Have you had everything worked out of you? Have you seen the beginning from the end? Do you know God? Praise the Lord. Because if you do you counsel God? Is that really what you're going to do, Christian? Praise the Lord. You know, there's a difference between when something bad happens and you look at it and you go, you know, is there something I could do better? Have I missed it in an area? You know, you can go to God before God like that. That's faith. That's faith, Lord, did I miss it in an area? And God will cover that loss. But see, what people are doing is they're saying, well, if I do this, this, and this, and this, then I get in God's graces. And so I do this, this, and this, and it doesn't look like I got in God's graces. So somebody else did something wrong. Either you taught me wrong, or God didn't come through like he said, or you don't understand the word like it's written. That's none of the truth. Listen, you have not been perfected yet. Like, God didn't bypass everybody else, come to you and say, oh, this person is so special that they're the ones who gets to decide how it all works now. But that's when you complain like that, that's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're saying. You're saying to God, well, I know better than God. I know better than the Bible. I know better than my pastor. I know better than this. I know better than that. I know. Well, if you knew so well, then why are you in that trouble in the first place? Praise the Lord. Because if you had perfect knowledge, I'm just telling you the truth. If you were in perfect knowledge, you wouldn't be troubled by nothing. I said, if you were in perfect knowledge, you wouldn't be troubled by nothing. I'm not saying that there wouldn't be opposition in your life, but if you had perfect knowledge, you'd be troubled by nothing. See, the Bible says to submit to God, and the devil will flee from you. Well, it says to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. But see, somebody who comes complaining is somebody who's not submitted to God, and there's somebody who has not resisted the devil. Why? Because complaint never comes of God, so there's number one. Inquiry is not wrong. Complaint is. Well, this and that, and you should this, and you should that, blah, 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 blah. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the same thing people are doing when they complain against their spouse. I'm just telling you the truth. When you complain against your spouse, you're expecting them to be somebody you're not. Perfect. That's exactly what you're doing. When you say, well, you don't do this, and you don't do that. Well, have you ever took an account that maybe your spouse isn't good in that area? Have you ever took an account that maybe your spouse has weaknesses? Now, listen, I am not opening up the door for an excuse for abuse or somebody to live as they should live. Now, obviously, there is lines to be drawn. But I'm just talking about on a normal day-to-day basis. Listen, your spouse isn't perfect, and your spouse hasn't figured it all out. So you need to have grace on them. Why do you need to have grace on them? Because surely when you go before the Lord, and the Lord says, listen, you're pretty stupid, you're going to say, oh, Lord, have mercy, have grace on me, aren't you? Yeah. But have you ever thought that maybe there's areas in your life, in their life, that your spouse struggles in? And if there's an area that someone truly struggles in, then you need to nurture them in that area. You need to, I'm not saying you need to give them ammunition to shoot themselves. You know, obviously, but there's people that deal. People come into this from all kinds of different places. I'm preaching to marriages right now. Your spouse is not perfect. And if you expect your spouse to be perfect, praise the Lord, your marriage is going to fail, and it's going to be your fault. I just said it's going to be your fault. If you expect your spouse to be perfect, how do you know I expect my spouse to be perfect? Because you're looking at your spouse expecting them to do this, this, and this, and you haven't even perfected what you do yet. And you know it. Praise the Lord. We all know it. And see, that's the same thing in a church. It doesn't have to be just a spouse. It's the same thing in a church. Praise the Lord. You expect me to be perfect. Praise the Lord. There's people that have expected me to just, well, if he hasn't done this, this, and this, then he must not be perfect. He must not be the one. Well, glory to God, you're not perfect and you're sitting there. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. We all got to get there someday. Listen, we have to have mercy on people. Glory to God. This is much better than I'm hearing amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know I can't hear all the Lord, but I know you're thinking it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, a bunch of honkies out there. Hallelujah. Out there honking. I love you. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? We have to have patience for one another, with one another. Listen, the biggest thing that I've been learning is that God has been teaching me in the last year. The biggest things, you want to hear what they are? Humility. I'm not saying I've perfected humility. I say I'm learning humility. And when I say I'm learning humility, I mean it's being brought forth where I'm not humble. Amen? God's showing me. So I haven't say I learned humility, because saying I've learned humility would not be humble. Amen? But I am learning humility, praise the Lord. He's been teaching me about that. He's been teaching me about not having my own preference. He's been teaching me about preferring other people. Glory to God. Now, when I say that the Lord is teaching me this, I'm also telling you the Lord is also sharing with you that he would like to do the same thing with you. Amen? Because the way that I see it is I look around, not in this church, but just in general, as I look around, I see a bunch of Americans who are not humble. They are not patient. They are not long-suffering. They are not faithful. Listen, all these things are what we need to be. Why are you faithful to a marriage? Because God is faithful to you. And so if you have any way, now listen, if you are going through something, if, again, there's reasons for divorce, praise the Lord, but it's not God's highest and best. But that doesn't mean every marriage was God's highest and best either. But if you got a marriage that where both of you are trying to seek God, and you're trying to get through to some, you're trying to find God, and you're trying to do your best, and you're doing your best at it, well, don't you just be sitting around just because you're better at something than someone else? Because surely you're worse at something than someone else too. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Always come down to this. You know, you may be better than me. Let's have arm wrestling contest. Let's see how that goes. I'm not saying I have the biggest arms in the world, but I've been good at arm wrestling before. I can at least try that. So maybe I suck at everything else, but well, arm wrestle, if I beat you there, well, at least I beat you in some area, so you're not perfect either, amen? Now, if you beat me in arm wrestling too, I guess I'm in trouble, but glory to God. We'll just call in somebody bigger, amen? Praise the Lord. There's always somebody bigger, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. And so we see this, we want to say, well, I just preaching time away, amen, but I'm having fun. Hope you are too, glory to God. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul, amen? Chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can spend a lot of time there because we've been there so many times, right? Praise the Lord. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? Praise the Lord. What's a testimony? Testimony is when you stand up in church and you say, glory to God, this happened to me, this is great. I got testimonies this week. Great. Praise the Lord for them. Amen. Glory to God. Dwayne Gabriel called me. He had some great testimony. Praise the Lord. But that's a testimony. By faith, we obtain testimony. By faith, the elders obtain testimony. Amen. This is how you obtain testimony. This is how you obtain the victory, is by the test, or is by faith. Amen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. God's testimony is I had faith that the worlds would be there when I spoke, and so I spoke, and the worlds are there now. And that is proof, that is testimony of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I have a little note in my Bible that says, read verse 3 in the Amplified. So read verse 3 in the Amplified. That's your homework assignment. Amen? And verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. And so we see here, by pleasing God, right, because he gave the more excellent sacrifice, praise the Lord, because his heart was in it, amen? And so by faith, we see that, or by faith, Abel offered him a more excellent. He pleased God. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had taken, he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. And then we get to verse 6, the big verse 6, amen? By faith, or without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we see this again. We see by faith it is impossible to please him, or without faith it is impossible to please him. We see the others obtain by pleasing God, so we must then just surmise that the only way we're going to obtain by faith is through pleasing God, through faith, amen? Glory to God. And so if we have faith, we please God, and then we enter in. Praise God. Why were they pleasing to God? This is a question I want to pose to you. Why were they pleasing to God? And it is because they were well acquainted with God. And you say, how do you draw that from this? Well, we know the story of Cain and Abel. Abel knew God. He knew what he would bring to God that would please God. So what Abel brought was his heart. He gave him the best of the best. What Cain brought God was the second best. It was the leftover, so to speak. It's kind of like this. If you were going to have a dignitary, somebody, maybe your biggest movie star, your movie star or something, you were going to have them over to dinner and you really wanted to impress them, would you feed them yesterday's leftovers? But that's what God, people are giving God. They're bringing God yesterday's leftovers and they're saying, God, but I want you to bless me fully. See, this is why God, this is why the people of God aren't living blessed. When they say, well, church, you know, when a sunny day can keep people out of church, I'm just telling you what, leftovers. You're giving God leftovers. And you want great from God? You want big time from God? You want God to pour out in your life? Oh, everybody loves the ideas of the windows of heaven being opened up, but if you're bringing God leftovers, why do you think he's going to be giving you? Do you think that's pleasing to God? You know, listen, there ain't nothing worse than when you sit down at a meal at a restaurant, you pay a lot of money for it, and they put down the meal in front of you, and you bite, take one bite into it, and you're like, and you know that that was just pulled out of the microwave. I didn't want that meal. I paid 4-star prices. I want 4-star meal. I don't want something, or 5-star, whatever is good. Praise the Lord. I don't want to come out here and get a microwave meal. I could have done that at home. Praise the Lord. This ain't Stouffer's. This isn't Hungry. What I'm saying, this isn't Tyson meal ready to go or whatever. This is, I came here and paid good money for this. This wasn't a $3 meal. This was a $30 meal. Amen. You'd be ticked if it came out like that. Well, the same thing is with God. God gets ticked a little bit when his children, who he's done so much for, when he continues to do so much for, and they bring him the leftover. They say, well, this is what's left of my week. I ain't going to give you any more than that. I can't give because I was so busy. And see, that's why people aren't giving the best. They're getting the best. They're not living in the highest and best. But even if you are giving God your best, does not mean that you're going to walk without opposition. Because you need to learn faith. You need to learn to trust God no matter what. It is not a bad thing to trust God. Not bad when there is opposition. Listen, I am with you in this, folks. We have gone through a period of time where we have not had everything we desired, everything we wanted. One of the things that I have been really sad about is that I cannot find good sushi very many places. In fact, anywhere. I can't just go get it like I used to. But am I going to allow that to ruin my life? Am I going to allow the fact because I can't have one meal that I want to just start not trusting God and to be miserable and to backslide into perdition? Is that what I'm going to do? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to allow this? Like, listen, this virus is gone. Even if it's gone on, even if it goes on for the next 10 years, 10 years out of a whole life, isn't that much? I'm just telling you the truth. It's not going to go on 10 years, but I'm just telling you the truth. Like God's given me way more than 10 good years. Glory to God. So if I have opposition in there from time to time because there is opposition or because God wants to see if I really do trust him, because that's exactly what's happened in America. This country does not trust him. I'm just telling you right now, this parking lot should be full. And the fact that it isn't is the fact that people have not gone through enough trial yet. The fact that people aren't clawing to get into these church buildings is proof positive that America is lazy, that America does not care about the things of God. The fact that Americans aren't lining up down the street every Sunday morning saying, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Let me in. I need to get God. That's proof positive that we're fat and overfilled. And I'm just telling you right now that it's time that the Christian church stands up and starts being something different. And I'm talking to all of us here too, praise the Lord, all of us faithful who are sitting here too. Listen, as you go forward, you got to go forward with something different in you. You got to go forward with something different in you saying, God matters to me more than a stinking sunny Sunday. God matters to me more than a picnic or than more than a golf game or more than something else. God matters to me more than just sitting around doing just the things I want to do, then I'm going to bring him my leftovers. Or I'm going to tell you what, if the church does not change, hell is coming. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be big. It's going to be bigger than anybody expected. And God is going to allow it to happen because God's people have laid down and allow it to happen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's get stirred real quick. But it's the truth. We're supposed to be preaching up. You're supposed to be preaching on rest and peace, God. Or Pastor Jeff? Well, yeah, but God intervened in showing us some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He is our peace and rest. But we got to start looking at it right, folks. We got to start changing it. We got to start realizing that this isn't like the Moose Club that we can take it or leave it. And if you can take church or leave it, then that's exactly what you're treating it like. You're treating it like leftovers. Glory to God. I'm just telling you the truth. It's time that people get serious about God. Get serious about faith. Listen, when the entire church is rocked to the core because trial has happened, what, you don't believe, you telling me that after all God has given you, that you can't stand up and have enough sense to say that the Bible has showed us that these things are coming? The Bible has told us that these things would be so in the latter times, and I can't stand there and trust God now because my life has changed a little bit? Because my comfort has been put a little bit on hold? Because I don't get to just walk into the store and get whatever I want whenever I want it? Praise the Lord. Is that going to rob you? I'm not saying we can't have moments. We all have moments. Praise the Lord. But listen, where do we live? Do we live rocked? I do not want a church of people who are living rocked. Why? Because they're babies that will just constantly pull us down. We'll never walk in what God has for us. Listen, the Bible says that he's coming back for a glorious church. That didn't mean huge church. Never said that he's coming back for millions or billions and billions of people. He said, I'm coming back for faithful. Praise the Lord. So if you want to be faithful, you better jump on board. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to close with the scripture we started with last week, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he whose mind is stayed on you is well acquainted with you who are perfect peace. God is perfect peace. And if we remain in his presence, we resist the fear, we resist the enemy. We submit to God in his way. Praise the Lord. Peace will always be with us. And I'm finding the peace of God more and more as I go forward. Listen, I've had areas in my life during this time that have been so exposed that I'm ashamed. And I'm just going to tell you, as a faith preacher, I'm ashamed of some of the things that I've thought and some of the things that I've done. Some of the things that I thought that I believed and I hadn't. Some of the things that were exposed to me. I'm ashamed of it, but I repented and I'm set free from it. And folks, you will be too. Praise the Lord. We're going to go forward in faith. We're going to walk in rest. We are going to enter rest because that's what faith will do. I said, that's what faith will do. If you're not in rest, I'm entering it. I'm entering it right now. What are you waiting for? Salvation is, today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. Don't wait any longer. Amen.